Good morning, church. I hope you guys are all doing well today. I'm glad everybody arrived, even though there were some delays. Just want to say thank you to Phil for allowing me to speak to my church family today. I just want to start off with a word of prayer so that God can speak through me today. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. God, I thank you for waking all of us up this morning. God, I pray that you can just speak through me as I give this sermon today, God. God, I pray that you can allow everyone's hearts to resonate with the message, God. And God, just please be with the rest of the service and allow everybody to have a great week. Thank you for everything you've done for me. I love you in your son's holy name, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
So today I will be talking to all of you about walking in the light. I think that this is a fitting topic because as we move into the fall and the winter seasons, the sky gets darker a lot earlier. This leads many to turn off their lights, turn off their lights later and head home earlier. From caveman fire to Thomas Edison's light bulb, light has always been a source of energy that we have depended on. One of my biggest fears as a child was the darkness. I'm sure many of you guys can relate to that, but I hated going downstairs in the dark.
Come on,
I remember I would run downstairs, turn on all the lights, grab whatever I needed to, and run back upstairs because I didn't want to get caught by the monster. It's funny looking back on it now, and I'm no longer afraid of the darkness. However, what I am afraid of is something much darker, and that's sin. Today I flee from the desires of my youth and I run from darkness. It's important that we keep striving for the light, even though our world keeps getting darker and light keeps getting further away. We should be trying our best to follow the path that God has set out for us, even if we cannot see it or understand it. All we need to do is follow God and trust in the light. As humans, we're pulled towards light. Our entire society is built on light. So just like how we seek out the light, when it becomes dark, we must also become the light that others seek out. So that brings me to my first point, which is being the light in the darkness.
We'll
be reading from John 8, verse 12, so you guys can just start turning there now if you'd like to. So light is important. It's important to do mundane things and important things as well. I remember using light to do homework, to do tasks. I remember using light to bring the garbage can down in the dark. I remember admiring the vibrant city lights as I went through New York for the first time. I also remember looking at the light in the sky as the sun set. All of this, just reflecting on this, has allowed me to just appreciate the simple things that God has given to us. So in John 8, verse 12, it says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Just for a little background, Jesus is at the temple giving a lesson to the Pharisees. In the first line of the passage, he says that he is the light of the world. What Jesus meant by this is that he is our spiritual light, the one who gives us hope and guides our future. It is due to Jesus' sacrifice on the cross that we are also able to be light ourselves. Lights are attractive, they're appealing. You drive past stores and you see glowing open signs and bright attractions, bright insides that make you want to go inside. And for me, this happens whenever I go past McDonald's. It's not because of the food. It's not because I have 17,000 McDonald's points. It's because of the brightness. But the Bible teaches us that many crowds of people were drawn and attracted to Jesus. His wisdom and kindness was a powerful light during his time on earth. Those who trust in God and do not let others' opinions affect them negatively typically shine powerfully in this dark world. Now, I'm going to use a little bit of science here, but light cannot be created or destroyed. So, since God has gifted us the light of life, we should not let the world affect us because our light cannot be destroyed. Jesus goes on to say that whoever follows him will not be in darkness. So, by following God and his word, we will be on the right path. Just because we're walking in the light, however, does not mean that there is no darkness. or that our path will always be straight. The only way to make certain that we stay in the light is to follow the straight path, which is Jesus.
Amen.
So God, he's given us his light. He's given us a part of himself. We need to remember that we are the light ourselves. So a good analogy is like a moth to a flame. We have to be attracting people towards God's kingdom. Many times I can be, and I'm sure you guys as well, we can be so focused in our own light or our own spiritual journeys that we forget we're supposed to light up others as well.
Right.
One way to think about this, it's a good analogy, as if we're a candle. So a candle can light up a small room, a single candle, but if you put that candle in a football stadium, for instance, it wouldn't provide much light. However, what a candle can do is light up other candles. So by sharing our faith and our life with others, we can together light up the world. I just want you guys to imagine the impact we could make on the world. We shared how God moved our lives with just one person this week. On to my next point, seeing the light in the darkness. So I want to start off this point by reading one of my favorite quotes. This is actually a quote that I heard in English class. It was just, it was a part of one of my assignments, and it stuck out to me because it talked about the stars. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I love the stars. I think that they're so powerful. The fact that they're always there, but in the night they shine brightly. Especially since I live in the middle of nowhere, so nights are there. No light pollution. So. However, although I like the quote, I think it took me a while to truly realize the meaning of it. So I'm going to read it for you guys. Get ready. Only in the darkness can you see the stars. By Martin Luther King. Okay, I know you guys were waiting for something big. It's not the Declaration of Independence, but there's a lot of meaning behind the quote. Now, it's true that we cannot see the stars during daytime. We can only see them during the night. However, what I think the meaning behind this quote truly is that when we go through difficult times, that's when we stop taking God's blessings and gifts for granted. It's easier to see the things that we've been given when we are going through those difficulties. However, it's much grateful to be grateful for a single light source when you have light all around you. So can everyone turn to Isaiah 42, verse 16? I'll give you guys some time.
Oh, Daniel.
All right. It says, 42, verse 16, Isaiah. I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. Along unfamiliar paths, I will guide them. I will turn the darkness into light for them and make the rough places smooth. These are things I will do. I will not forsake them. This scripture is pretty similar to the quote. Here, what God is saying is that he is our hope in this world, and that by trusting in him, he will guide us.
Amen.
However, I think what the important part here is that he says he will lead the blind by ways they have not known. We're all blind. Darkness, it blinds us. We can't see. But the scripture, it says that God will continue to guide us.
Amen.
Scripture doesn't say that there will be no rough times, but it says that God will make them smooth. I think everyone makes mistakes. I've made a lot of mistakes, but it says that God will smooth them out in the end. God will provide a way even when there is no obvious path.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm gonna help you guys visualize what I'm saying because I like visualization. So one of the biggest lessons I learned about bravery as a child was going into a dark shed. So in my old house, we had this shed at the end of the driveway, and it was musty, it was dusty, it was dark, and there were all sorts of insects, spiders, bees, mice, everything you could have imagined. There's probably even the Loch Ness Monster in there. But I just remember my dad, he would always push me to go in there and grab the tools, grab the garbage, and I was scared, to be honest. And I think that this truly, it represents God's power, because over time, I was able to overcome my fears And in God's presence, you know, nothing should have power over us. It says that these are the things I will do. I will not forsake them. So God, he stays true to his word. And it's interesting to think about it because animals, the mice, the insects, they're all actually afraid of us. However, we're afraid of them as well. And I think that Satan is very similar in this because he's afraid of us. He's afraid of the power that God has given to us. However, sometimes, you know, sometimes the animals, they have defense mechanisms which can scare us, the same as Satan. So being able to trust and see the path that God has for us is important. But seeing the light is more than just that. As I was thinking about what it means to see the light, I was really like, I was pondering this, and I was thinking about the relationships I made. I think that seeing the light is also about seeing the light of others. You know, building connections, those impactful relationships. Because light, it shines brightly. It's interconnected. It's not, you know, just a single thing. And as bearers of light, I think that we have to make sure that we're connecting with others. You know, and I know this is difficult. You know, me personally, I think I struggle with this sometimes, especially with people who I don't have much interaction with. So I know a lot of my friends, they moved to college this year. So it's really only me. So I know that sometimes I struggle connecting with them, you know, reaching out to them. But I think it's important that we're connecting with people and allowing them to harness their own life. You know, we may feel as if we're not enough to affect the world. However, it only takes one domino to make all of them fall. Yeah. So imagine you're that domino. It only takes one action, one act of faith to bring somebody in, and you don't know how much of an impact that can have. You know, Jesus, he was only a single person, yet he was able to do great things and spread God's word across the world. Think about it. His influence is literally superseding time. He may not no longer be alive, but he's still very alive today.
Yeah.
You know, so as children of God, we should strive to impact others like he did. You know, our vision may be 1520. Sorry, my vision may be 1520.
Yeah.
But with God, it's 2020. My third point.
Come on.
Don't lose the light. I'll be reading from Proverbs 13, verse 4. So you guys can turn there. There it says, the light of the righteous shines brightly, but the lamp of the wicked is snuffed out. Those who are righteous are those who shine brightly. When you guys think of a light, how light makes you feel, what are some words that come to mind? Let me get some examples. Anybody raise their hand. How does light make you feel? The Sam?
Warm.
Warm. Okay. Nina?
Safe.
Like, clear mind.
Okay. Those are great examples. Now, I want to ask you guys this question. When you are in a crowd or you're at home, will people describe you in the same way? Would they describe you in the same way that you guys think of light? You know, I think what God is saying here is if you were to be picked out of school, to be picked out of work, or even be picked off a random sidewalk, will people know that you are a Christian? You shine so brightly that those around you can clearly see it, that they ask you why you are the way that you are. And I think there's a lot of people that I know that, you know, truly exemplify this brightness. Phil Garrison, for example, he's always bringing the enthusiasm, the positive energy. It's hilarious. My parents, you know, being around them is so positive. You know, my sister, my friends. I think that there's a lot of people that I've seen like this, and I truly admire it. You know, it says that the lamp of the wicked will be snuffed out. Those who act righteous but act different elsewhere be snuffed up. Now, by all means, it's definitely hard to be a light. You know, light means that people will come towards you, challenges will flock to you, and insects will come to you as well. especially mosquitoes. However, light, it gives life, and it allows you to see in the darkness. You know, light is powerful, it's blinding, it's intangible. That's a powerful word. Yeah, it's still real nonetheless. You know, it exemplifies God's power. And those who are bright, those who are righteous, are promised eternity with our Creator. So I just want to recap the points that I give you guys today. First off, be the light in the darkness. Make sure that, you know, you're truly being a light and you're truly reaching out to others, seeing the light in the darkness, making sure that you're looking at God's path, you're following His path. Third, don't lose your light. Stay strong, because God's with you and He will guide you. So just want to connect this all to the theme of agriculture we've been having in our past sermons, you know what I'm saying? But light, it provides life. You know, life to all organisms. Plants use light to grow, and then animals feed off plants, and we feed off animals. So it's all interconnected. It's a cycle. You know, and I really want to focus on the plants part, because plants, they use light to create their own food through photosynthesis. And I think that this relates to us, because by taking in the light of the word, we also ensure that our spirit stays healthy and it continues to grow. You know, so I just want to take some time just to think about the light and the fact that it's due to Jesus' sacrifice that we are able to have this light in our lives. So can everyone pray? Thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. God, I thank you for the sacrifice that your son made on the cross for us, God. God, I just thank you for his body, God. He went through so much, God, so much for us, God. And God, I just thank you for his blood that allows our sins to be forgiven for, God. And God, I just thank you for, you know, just the opportunity to get to know you, to get to know everybody here, God. I just thank you for everything that you've done for me, God, and just the amazing sacrifice that your son made for me, God. I love you, and in your son's holy name I pray, amen.